welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, Coach, congrats on getting another win. You've had a chance to look back at the matchup with Camdenton. Did anything new jump out at you on film?
Nothing new, man. I thought we competed as a team, and then, you know, looking back at it, I like the way special teams competed, you know, through the years and kind of through this whole year. I thought that those guys are covering. We got some guys that don't play a bunch, and this is the opportunity to play, and I thought they played very well on special teams, not giving up anything. Through a course of a game, you know, you hope that you get kicks off and they don't go through the end zone, and you can get guys taken down, you know, tackled and things of that nature. I think that was a contributor to us winning more than anything, not giving up, you know, saying those special teams, defense playing, you know, pretty solid, bending no break, and then, you know, offensive just keep plugging away, and eventually, you know, something pops for us and seal the deal for us.
And we talked after the game about, you know, how you felt about how the team showed up in a game with big implications, mm-hmm. right? With the district seeding, the conference right. standings, all of that. This week, none of those implications, really. Everything's kind of locked up. You're playing a team from out of the state.
Right.
So what's been your focus as you try to keep the energy up and keep the focus up as you go back to a game that doesn't have those implications?
Well, to us, it's an opportunity to kind of now – let's play a game against somebody that everybody perceives as good, and let's play them. You know what I'm saying? Actually play with confidence. Actually, you know, try the method that we had during the Camdenton game, one play at a time, and then see what happens. Because, you know, as it stands right now, we're playing a 7A team in Illinois, the number two team in the state. They're supposed to be good. We know they're supposed to be good. Let's see how we stack up against them. So now when we see another team, such as maybe Helias down the road again, you know, we've been battle tested. We've played a game that people thought they were good, and we competed.
So, you know, kind of along that track, what do you think is going to be the key to coming out and putting up a good performance this week against a very good team?
Just really playing hard. It's just like, you know, I think you mentioned last week that, you know, the previous years we've had games that we weren't the underdog. We were kind of supposed to win games, these games. And these games is up in the air. And so we're pretty evenly matched again. And, well, and probably slightly the better to them. And then, you know, just compete hard and see what happens.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, I got to say, you know, I thought maybe, you know, Capital City had a puncher's chance last week, and I wasn't surprised by the fact that they beat Camdenton. But I think the 28-14, I think, was a little bit, you know, there's enough separation there that I was like, okay, that's a good performance for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it was a very solid game all the way through. It was, you know, 28-7 for most of it. There was a long touchdown right at the end in garbage time, you know. But otherwise, defensively, just a fantastic performance from the Cavaliers. Camdenton's yardage numbers were pretty big. So,
which we kind of thought maybe with their type of offense, it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I was just trying to think back on it. I think Carson Dernan completed something like 80% of his passes. I mean, like the numbers that Camdenton put up are impressive offensively. But to hold that offense to 7 points, create a couple of key turnovers, you know, Coach Collier described it today as a great bend but don't break performance,
that's exactly what I was
which
thinking.
Is, you know, I think the best possible way to describe that.
Which, I mean, if you're going to have a blueprint against Camdenton, that's kind of what you may have to do against them sometimes, because it sounds like, you know, you're not going to probably slow them down completely. It's just like come be opportunistic and come up with big plays when you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was 14-7 for a while. Camdenton was, you know, looked like it was driving, had an interception by the Cavaliers that seemed to turn it around, got called back for a pass interference that I wasn't so sure about. And then, you know, five plays later, Camdenton throws a pick six. So, you know, even with the kind of the momentum swing that could have been with having an interception call right. back with a team that's actively driving,
right,
that could turn into a bad moment.
Sure, absolutely.
And lead to a tie game, and then maybe it's all different. Instead, Capital City, you know, goes into that kind of next play mentality that Coach Collier likes to keep telling me about.
Right.
And comes back, gets a pick six, and now it's 21-7.
Yeah.
And it's just a very different game because Capital City was able to kind of keep the focus and not get caught up in what could have been
right.
if that PI wasn't called.
That's got to be very encouraging for a coach and a coaching staff when you preach something like that and then mm-hmm. you see it come to fruition. It's not only great for you, but it kind of, I think, reinforces it to the team where sounds like they've already bought into the idea, but when you can reinforce it and go, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about, that's just a wonderful teaching tool.
Absolutely, and I think that's kind of the case with that game as a whole.
Okay.
You know, we talked a bit last week on the podcast because they were coming off a 21-14 win against Sedalia.
Right.
And, you know, kind of a disappointing performance.
Sure.
Even in a win where, you know, you had to get some of that confidence back, right?
Right.
And there was a bit of it, I know the coaches have been preaching, you know, it's time to step up in a game that has big implications.
Right.
And that's what that Camdenton game was.
Right.
That locked up, essentially, the two seed in districts.
Right.
That got third place in the conference. I can't remember exactly if that's their first or second time ending third in the conference. It's definitely the first time Capital City's been seeded second in district play.
Right, right.
So, you know, a game that had the implications of setting, you know, where you're going to be moving forward this season.
Right.
And against a team that is a quality opponent who's had some big wins and has a long history of success.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Capital City went in and played very, very well. I think that was exactly the type of confidence booster that the coaches were looking for.
Yeah. So the win takes them to 6-2 overall. 5-2 in the CMAC, like you mentioned, it's a solo third, which I think if we had kind of plotted things out at the beginning of the season, I think we might have expected something like that. So I guess from the standpoint of the Cavaliers, you go, okay, you did what you were supposed to do, kind of at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any game, you know, yes, a game here or there could have gone away differently here or there, but I think it's kind of like what you expected, and sometimes I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes when you tell people, you've done what you should have done, sometimes it's easier to go, yeah, but we wish it would have been better. But I also say, at least you didn't underachieve.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of sitting right where you need to at this point.
Yeah, and that was kind of the message from the coaches after the game last week was, you know, going into that game, they had beat all the teams they were supposed to
sure.
beat, right? And then last week was the first win against a team that was really up in the air.
Right.
So the Helias game didn't go the way the team wanted.
I think
if they could have something back, even without changing the record, it would be having competed better
sure.
in that game.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, a loss to Helias, a loss to Rockbridge. Like, you haven't beat either of those programs through the history of Cap City football. Those are the big boys of the conference. Like, that, you know, was, I think, kind of expected.
Right.
But you did compete against Rockbridge very well.
Yes.
And I think if the Helias game had been a more competitive outing, then you could say that, you know, every game this season was a solid performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I say, we've kind of figured out, okay, we finished CMAC play. We've kind of, like you said, they've locked up second place in the district. So we kind of have, you know, it's not, you don't want to say this week will be a step down as you step out of conference play, as you step out of kind of normal play, because you close out the regular season, and it's not like you're just closing out the regular season with any rum-dum and then getting amped up again in another week, because tonight at Capital City High School, 7 o'clock, it's the Quincy Blue Devils that come to town. And it's not just, you know, any team. So I'll just kind of turn it over to you and let you give maybe, you know, the pedigree of this team that comes into town tonight.
Well, okay. So to run through the pedigree, this is the number 2 team in Class 7 in Illinois.
Right.
Undefeated to this point. season low in points scored was 40 in week one. The closest game they've played was, I believe, 43-21, which is also the season high in points allowed.
Okay.
It's a very successful team led by a large and talented group of seniors. There was a very fun stat that I got to include in my preview, which is this group of seniors has more wins together than the program did in the 80s. Like the 80s themselves, the 90s themselves, or the 2000s themselves.
Wow.
I believe it is now 31 wins that this group of seniors has.
Okay.
And the program had like 18 in the 80s, like 20 in the 90s, and like 22 in the 2000s.
Okay.
You know, and the stats are ridiculous.
Right.
They throw it a lot and very successfully to a handful of guys who are all pretty good. And their running back is also very good.
So we'll get to that more in a second. I just kind of want to pause and reset here for a second. So did the Cavaliers probably know they were this good when they scheduled them? Because I think you kind of get into a philosophical thing about, you know, coaches can go one way or another when you're kind of scheduling this last game after you kind of know how the schedule is going to shake out for the most part. You can either take it as like, okay, this would be a good week to pause and regroup and maybe have somebody not so tough, and then we'll worry about getting right again in another week when we start district play. Some coaches like to go, hey, let's keep running the gauntlet. Let's keep operating at a high level by not giving ourselves a chance to breathe. So I guess when this game was able to be slotted into the schedule, did the Cavaliers know that they were going to be having such a stiff test in week 9?
I'll answer that with two things. First, this game was a pretty late add to the schedule from what I understand. So it was kind of a just, where's an opportunity for us to get a game?
Okay.
But two, Quincy was a quarterfinalist in the Illinois state championship last year.
Okay.
And Illinois does its state playoffs a little bit differently than Missouri does. But they were quarterfinals. They were undefeated in the regular season last year too. They're back-to-back undefeated conference champs for their conference, and a lot of their scores looked pretty similar last year. They had a couple of bigger points allowed games, but you know, when you've got that much success in a season led by mostly juniors,
right,
you would expect that you're going to come back with all of that group of seniors and have the same level or more success.
Right. Makes sense. So if, as we head into tonight, it sounds like it's going to be a stiff test regardless. But if you're the Cavaliers, are you more concerned about being able to score against that defense that has not been giving up many scores? Or is it your ability to stop that offense that doesn't seem like it's been able to be stopped this year?
I think it's stopping the offense.
Okay.
I think that's a bigger key. Capital City's offensively outside of the Hlaias game has generally been able to kind of enforce its will.
Sure.
And, you know, the Veer is hard enough to stop for less than 3 yards consistently that, you know, I think if they're able to just not have turnover issues, then offensively they can get the job done.
Okay.
The issue that I would be worried about is Quincy has a lot of very big and very fast receivers.
Okay.
And they get the ball to them very quickly.
Okay.
And with a lot of bubble screens.
So I guess the question would then be is, can you solve that by, are they going to be able to maybe pressure the quarterback and maybe make them, you know, get rid of the ball quicker before those routes can set up? Or is it just going to be, we're going to have to play great against the receivers and hope that we can figure them out, you know, either man-to-man or whatever they're going to do, and can they kind of slow them at that point?
I mean, it's definitely a combination of both.
Okay.
From what Coach Collier was telling me, it seems like a lot of the film hasn't had a ton of pass rush just from the teams that Quincy's played. Now, is that just because the offensive line is very good? Maybe.
Right.
Or, you know, or maybe it's that teams were running a different set of stunts and whatever else, and Capital City might be more effective getting a pass rush that way. But they're also going to need to tackle in space with the receivers. Like, there's only so much you can do pass rush-wise if it's bubble screens.
Right.
They develop so fast, there just isn't time for a pass rush to develop sometimes. So tackling in space is going to be very, very important for the secondary. which they've done a great job of, especially last week. Like that's
well, that was my next question was, you know, how much confidence does last week and a team that throws the ball all over the place? You did pretty well against a team like that. Like I said, you gave up yards, but it was a bend but don't break. So how much does maybe last week, having seen what you saw last week, get you prepped for this week?
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, a significant portion of defending Camdenton is just tackling his face, like we're talking about.
Sure.
It's making sure that when the receiver catches the ball, he doesn't get extra yards.
Right.
Which is going to be the key again this week. Because, yeah, if you're running bubbles, they're going to get a catch.
Right.
Right? So, you know, if you give up 10 catches to one guy, it doesn't matter if it's for 20 yards.
Right, right.
So as long as you can make your tackles in space and make sure that those don't end up being long touchdowns like they were against Rockbridge a couple of times, then that is, you know, defensively the key to the game against a team like this. And since that Rockbridge game, Capital City's been much better at doing that.
Yeah. How nice is it for the Cavaliers then to get this game here rather than maybe at Quincy, you know, where you're going into a hostile territory and against a team that seems like it's clicking on all cylinders? You'll take any edge you can get in this game. So, and we've talked, I think, in the past about how, it, you know, the Cavaliers fans have shown out this year, and it seems like it's becoming now maybe not a home field advantage in some of the, you know, worst places to play in Missouri, but it's at least becoming something where you're at least making it, you know, not someplace where you can just roll in and you know, not have to, you know, deal with a home field advantage.
It's definitely nice. And, you know, if you're ending the season at home after back-to-back road games, you're going to have a couple more home games after this as the two seed in districts.
Provided you win.
At least one.
Right.
At least one more home game. And then if you win that, a home game after that.
Right.
So, you know, it sets up very well for, you know, the next at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely nice to get that team coming here. The amount of travel that goes into playing an out-of-state game.
Right.
All of that type of stuff is just extra factors that play against the visiting team.
Sure.
So if you're the team that doesn't have to deal with that, that's a big advantage.
Absolutely. All right, I guess I'll just ask you flat out, are the Cavaliers going to be the first team to be able to hang an L on the Blue Devils this season?
You know, I'm going to entirely base my prediction off of how confident the coaching staff seems from talking to them at practice, and that was very confident.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that Capital City's defense does what no other defense has been able to do this year and holds Quincy under 40 points.
Okay.
And the Cavaliers win, let's say, 35-28.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.